Absolutely.
What are we, what case are we dealing with here? How do you want to take this? Shomer LaPree. So what, you want to go? The first, you want to review the definitions? The different answers? It's all rubber, right?
Yeah.
Keep Rava keeps saying.
He doesn't stop.
He's relentless.
He energizes relentless.
So his first definition is what? His first definition. Let's see a quick recap. The first definition is what? The Shomer LaPri has to be part of the pri, even in its it's mature, final form. Right? Even betolish, meaning to say even at the point where it's not going to benefit from being on the tree any longer. Right? And that apparently is the... that's apparently the furthest point that you can define the pre by. Once it's off the tree, it's not going to be considered. That doesn't define the pre anymore.
In Pesach?
Yeah.
When does Tolish begin?
When does Tolish begin? When you would pick it.
So is it? Can there be Bishul and Tolish at the same time? The ripening of the fruit. And meaning once it's ripe, you wouldn't just pick it?
No, you wouldn't just pick it.
Okay.
Right. You would keep it till it's perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so that's one definition. That's one possible definition of Shomer LaPri. Then the Gemara knocks that off. Right, and the Gemara knocks that off. Abayi knocks it off, and what? And Rava revises the definition. He revises the definition to say that what? That it's a Shomer LaPri when it's there, when the fruit becomes ripe. B'shas gemar pira. Now, implicit in that phrase of gemar pira is that's considered when the shame pre emerges. I mean, that's what he means. So the shame pre emerges before it's tolish. Obviously, but I mean to say the shame pre exists before it's tolish. Right? There was a shame pre, and then there's a certain amount of time. You don't pick it right when it gets to shame pre. Shame pre is a halachic definition. Tolish, it would seem, is in terms of the growth, it's not going to grow anymore. Yeah.
Is it the first stage when it's no longer the flower, but it's now the fruit?
No.
It's a little later?
It's later. At this point, we're saying it's ripe, ripeness.
Later is asking about Gemar Piri.
I know.
Yeah.
At this point, it doesn't mean that. At this point, it means Samoch, it means Bishulo.
It's the first point that it's edible, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Edible. Right. Okay.
Flowers fell off a long time ago.
Flowers are long gone. And now it's considered ripe. I saw the Miri says that there's like boser means when it first has juice that starts to drip a little. I don't know the Lashon of it, so I want to say girua comes from some Lashon of dripping. I don't know what exactly the word was here. Rindy?
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, why did the Gemara bother with Abaye's objection to Rava? And then
let's save hypercritical Gemara analysis for later. Let's just see if we can get the basic definitions. Unless I'm misunderstanding your question.
No.
Okay. Okay, so that's the second definition is that if the Shomer HaPri, if it's there when the Shem Pri emerges, which the Gemara is now saying is when it's ripe. Correct? But it doesn't have to be there past that point. Okay? Now here's where things start spiraling out of control. Now you get the problem with Rabbi Yossi and the negative problem with Rav Nachman, right? Because Rav Nachman says that by the date palm, there is a shomer on the date which falls off apparently before the fruit is ripe. So now he has a different definition. That it's a shomer lepri even before the date is ripe. Apparently even before the shame pre emerges. Okay? So now, so that's a kasha. Max still not back. Where's Max? It's almost Wednesday. Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday or Wednesday? Phew. So I don't think this is a Havamina at this point. It's not a Shita. It's a Kasha. Because how could... What kind of definition is that? There's no Pri. How can it be Shomer LePri? So that's the Gemara says, this is a different Shita of Pri. This Shita holds that Pri is even before it's ripe. It's even before it's ripe.
When exactly is that? Like after the flower, but before it's fully formed into the pre?
Well, fully formed into the pre is tallish already. I mean, fully formed into the pre means there's no more forming to be done. I mean, I don't know what you mean by that. It's complicated terminology.
It's fully pre-nounced, totally removed from flower. You can have the pre, but it continues to form.
The pre, it's like Rashi says, it looks like a berry. It looks like a grain. Right? You can see that the flower, you can see that there's now a little pre in there. Right? The flower could still be on there. Apparently the flower is still on there. Right? But it's not ripe. Right? So now we have three stages, right? You have where the berry forms. Okay, the berry forms. You have where it's ripe. And you have where it's complete. As an entity. Okay? Now there's a machlokas. When is the shame pre-emerge? Does the shame pre-emerge right when the berry forms? And like Rashi says, Rashi gives a very good description that it's a gargir nira l'atzmo. It's an independent, it's a visibly independent entity. You can tell it's a new thing. You can tell it's not just a bud, not just a protrusion, not just an outgrowth of the tree. It's its own thing. You can see it's its own thing already. So there's a machlokas, when does the shame pre-emerge? So in other words, if we could simplify it slightly, we would say like this, that there's two questions. There's a machlokas about when is the shomer pri. Does it have to be when the fruit is in its full development, fully developed? Right? Does it have to be there when the fruit is in the final form? Right? That's tullish. Okay. Or does it have to be there only when the shame pre-emerges? Right? That's one machlokas between shomer. Then within that side, there's a question of when does the shame pre-emerge? Okay? When does the shame pre-emerge? Right? Okay. But then the last problem is that then there's a final definition, because none of these work out, and that is that the shomer pre is that which, when removed, causes the pre to die. That's the last definition. Okay? So really there are three definitions of shomer pre, and two definitions of pre. And the pre is very complicated, because apparently different things are different. Yeah.
The last definition demands, though, that it be, when you remove it once it's already a pre, the pre would die, right? It's that which has a shame pre that would die.
Well, or that goes without saying, right?
So I'm just making sure.
Because we're saying, really, at the final position, we're saying the shame pre emerges immediately.
Right.
Right. The shame pre emerges immediately, but that's not enough that it's there with the shame pre. Right? It has to be there in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Right? Those are all the facts. Simply, Kishulchan Aruch Lefanecha. Yes?
What's the machlokus again on whether it's shame pre or not? One says it's an independent entity, and what's the other side?
Ripe. The minimal ripeness. So, how should we partake of this feast?
We didn't get a chance to find the machlokes about the shame pre, but we just did.
Josh is getting hungry. I can see you already.
I'm happy to just watch you eat.
Yes.
We just did the three definitions of shame pre.
Good.
Right. So the just taking that first two shittos, right?
Okay.
So it seems like they both have the same idea of shomer. That the most basic idea of shomer is that it isolates the entity from its surroundings, right?
The shomer. Let me hear that. That's a big. You're saying a big thing. You're saying it very casually.
Right.
So let me hear it more.
Okay.
More.
Meaning. That's the most. That's the underlying idea.
The underlying definition of shomer is what?
Is that which isolates the entity from its surroundings.
Okay. It doesn't really have to be warding off.
Right, right. When you wrap a present, right. Right. When you wrap a present, you're still encasing the thing, but you're not, protecting it.
Okay. Okay, I'll think about that for a minute. Okay, that's good. Okay, go ahead.
So the only question is which entity we're talking about. Okay? So the first definition maintains that the entity of fruit, the conceptual entity of fruit we're concerned with, is the agricultural entity. Okay? And in the realm of agriculture, we care about the pre from its initial emergence all the way through, not just its ripeness, but through its full growth, right? Okay. To the point where it's ready for being picked.
Okay.
So the second shita, though, says we're talking about the botanical entity. So a botanist only recognizes a pre, an unripe pre, and a ripe pre. But whether the pre grows to a fuller size, meaning at the point when it's ripe, then it has a shame pre. It's a propagator of the tree, and the only thing different is the size. That's not a category of botany, because.
So why does it have to be ripe?
Because that's the shame. That's when you can say that there's a shame.
Okay. Agriculture is in terms of human consumption.
Well, no, I didn't want to say human consumption because.
Well, I'm answering your question.
Oh.
He said, what's between agriculture and botany?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the answer to that.
The only thing is that. It sounds like you're getting more into the question of what a pre is with the botany issue. Right?
I'm going to say the same idea. It's a question of what entity.
And where does the Shemira relate to? That's how I'm seeing it. Like, is the Shemira qualifying?
What's the Puri? What's the Shemira relating to?
Meaning the first side is still going to hold that it's a pre when it becomes ripe.
Right.
He's just saying that the Shemira is looking at that pre in a different framework.
Okay. Right.
And especially since we are talking about Orla, which is in relation to your produce. You know, this is a...
But I'm just saying, I'm not sure if... I know the only thing is that you got to think about is that nobody holds that, for instance, that the shame pre emerges at the gargir, but yet it's not a shomer unless it's at the ripeness. Because those two things are always...
Say it one more time.
No, there's no shita that says, for instance, that legabi arlo, it goes by the berry.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a shomer lepri until it's ripe. Right?
Somehow I'm not registering.
In other words, it's integral. You seem to be separating something. You seem to be trying to separate something that can't be separated. And that is that the shame pre, according to the shita that goes by the ripeness, it seems that it's the same question of when is it chayev in orla. When is it considered the pre legabi orla?
As opposed to what?
As opposed to an idea of botany. Maybe we're not communicating properly. You two together?
No.
Okay. Who are you learning with?
Nissan.
In other words, let me just try again. Hear again. In other words, the first line I understand is saying it's the pre in terms. Let's see if the pre in terms of what? In terms
it's
of
agricultural existence, right? Which is bein b'mechuvar or bein b'talish.
Okay. Okay, I hear what you're saying. You don't want to say human consumption. You're just saying...
Because otherwise we'd just say talish. I mean, that was okay. Nisan's... I initially stated that first way, but...
Yeah. And why is it same with Kubar otherwise? Then there's no reason
for Kubar. Okay. But now the botany has to get to the... So now the second side is saying that what? It's a shomer. As long as it's there when...
Yeah, I got to think about that.
See, the way you're phrasing it, it doesn't seem like it has to do with what's the definition of the pre in terms of Orla. But the Gemara seems to hold it has to do with that. Uh-huh. It's the same question.
I think I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? You're just saying it goes by the pre, for instance, let's say you're saying botany, when it's an independent thing in terms of propagation. But that's really a question of what's the pre.
Okay, I think I see what you're saying there.
I don't see that.
What are you saying? What are you saying? The
question is, what's a shomer?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it seems like according to what you're saying, Matt, that there's no difference in how they regard
Shomer. Right. And that's the very question.
Because like I was talking to Moshe the other day, nobody would say that there's a question of if it's a pre-Legabi Orla once it's ripe. No question is a pre-Legabi Orla once it's ripe. Nobody holds it has to be a Tolish.
Right.
So you see, there's a big difference in the question of there's a central question over here. It would seem, does the shomer lepri, is the shomer tied to the pre of Orla or not? I'm going to put it in a certain way.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because according to the Tullish side, saying I don't care, it's a pre for Orla already, but it's not a shomer lepri unless it's there even longer. The first side is saying, no, once it's a pre for Orla, it's a shomer. Now the argument, when it's a pre for Orla. You want to do the elliptical now or something?
Yeah. Sorry. You should do it. Right, man.
Yeah. Right? So what do you think?
You just repeat that one more time.
It seems like the question is, factually speaking, the one side is saying that it goes by Tullish. The Tullish side is saying, I don't care that the pre has already emerged in terms of Orla.
Right.
It has to be there longer.
Right, fine. Right.
And the other side is saying that as long as it's there at the time it has the shame pre Lagabi Orla, that's a shomer of the pre. Now they're going to argue about when the shame pre Lagabi Orla emerges. But to put it in the chilek, it would seem to be, is it tully in the shame pre of Orla or something else?
Okay,
not botany. Agriculture, I understand. But then to jump to botany seems not to be the next category. The next category should be halacha. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems so. I don't want to cramp anybody's... but it seems like that's the basic split. Because then we're saying whatever... Then we're saying the other thing is just going to follow the definition of Orla. First one doesn't follow the definition of Orla, but the second one does. I mean, unless you say botany follows Orla. Orla follows botany. But then you machlokes in botany, so I'll say it's machlokes in botany. Yeah. Alright, so anybody else? John?
I have an idea, but...
Okay.
So that was a question about what is the Shemira on? When you say Shomer, meaning you're protecting something.
That was the one thing I thought was clear.
Well, what aspect of the pre?
Okay.
Meaning there's...
Preness.
There's the pre as like, you could protect the pre as like an entity. Or you could protect... The second sheet, I think, is very simple. That it's simply you're protecting a certain activity of the pre, which is its development. Meaning that's the definition of Shomer pre. It's that which protects it, protects the development of the pre.
Okay.
It's protecting what does it mean Shomer pre? It means Shomer the development of the pre.
And what's your definition of Shomer?
That is just protecting it.
Protecting.
But factually, isn't it developing more after the Gemara period?
Is it developing? Not as a pre.
Not as a pre.
But I think that the
I mean, question, not into a pre.
The question that you just asked about what is it protecting, I think that's the chilek between the first two and the third. But that's...
That's not just... Okay. Got to build up to that one. Okay, the word shmira is a multi meaningful, thank you, word, right? Those are different meanings. It could mean just to watch, right? Shomar shomar sador, right? You just watch it. He wasn't protecting it. It does have a figurative, like it says by the Gan Eden, an ambiguous statement, right? It says the malachim were there to be lishmor zaderach. Does that mean to keep people out or to keep it known? But anyway, so you're right. I don't know. I'm sure there's a good shot on there. But
the question is, how could you say it's a shomer lepri? It still exists as a pre after this, right? It's not talish yet, so how is it dark? It's not guarding it, but it's being shomer one aspect of the pre, which is its development.
Its development. Okay. Its development.
I like it, John.
Okay.
That's still the
and the
side?
First side? Oh. Now which way do we go? Now
side.
We go to the first
no,
side?
No, the first side. We go to the first side.
Go ahead.
The first side says, it's not, if the Shmir is not on the, I'll say what it is. it's on the entity. Meaning the Kriya is an entity. Its completion, its life as an entity is complete at the its apex is the talish.
Okay.
Are you protecting the entity, or are you protecting its development?
Okay, and the final sutta?
It's basically you're just saying that the first sutta holds that you're protecting the first sutta.
The entity.
So as long as it's an entity, it has to be there. It
has to be protected, right.
Okay, and the second way, and the second way, huh?
Nothing fancy.
And the second way is saying that it's a process of, it's protecting a process, the development of the pre. Okay, and the final sheet though?
I didn't completely work it out, but I just one hara, one just, you know, not a definition, just one thing that, like, it's interesting that the first two shittas, which kind of like undermines what I was saying at this point, but the first two shittas, like the way it's expressed, is in terms of like the structure. Like it's saying, like, when is it a pre? So now it's talking about like the structure of the pre. Like it has this far development that far. Whereas the final one is just in terms of like its ability to live. I'm nothing to say about that. Strike it from the record.
Yeah, it's interesting. The last sheet, let's just see if we get just some, like, let me get the facts clear on the last sheet. What you were asking me was that what? That was, does it mean the shame pre-emerged, right? The shame pre-emerged already. So, shame pre already emerged. And that's still not enough, right? So it's more than the second shita. The second shita is saying once the shame pre-emerges, it's enough. But it's not as much as the last shita. Because it could fall off, and if it doesn't affect it, it's not going to be a problem. Yeah?
I have a question on John Sra. Why does it have to be there at Gemara Pera? Why isn't it there before Gemara Pera, and then it's... preventing it's being shown by the development of the pre-adapt stage.
Well, because it's still developing.
Yeah, so
you can't call it...
Just that the whole development process.
Exactly. Meaning, like, that's a gila and milsa, not what its nature is.
Saying it's got to be the whole development. Okay.
Exactly. Like, if it stops at the mar period, you can't say it's protecting the entity.
Right.
Because that reflects on its nature.
If you want...
It meaning if it stops, meaning why can't you say like for example that if it's guarding till Gemar Piri, so it's protecting the entity until that point.
Right.
But you can't say its nature is to protect the entity if it stops there. That shows you that
which
that's really not
are we
what
talking
it's
about?
Doing.
That's the first one.
The first sheet. Saying if it were to stop at Gemar Piri.
Right.
So you can't call it a protector of the entity. I mean, the fact that it stopped there shows you that its nature is just part of the process of development. I mean, it's just there to aid in the development of the pre, but not in terms of the entity proper.
Okay. What's that noise? Am I moving something? Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, David?
Maybe saying, a little elaboration, maybe the third, or kind of what John was saying. We could say that it is the difference between the first two and the third is in the Shmira, because you could say that in the first two, so it's viewing the Shomer Pri as a protection from external things. So since it's protecting the Pri from external things, you have to look to the Pri to see what is being protected. So then the stages of Pri are going to be relevant, because we want to know where...
Well, 1 second. You just lightly outpaced me. You have to look to the pre. That's where I lost you there. We have to look to the pre.
You're protecting the pre from the world around. Its environment, right?
That's right. It's a cruel world.
Right.
We're protecting this pre.
So, since
since the whole definition of, and according to the first two, right, Avishon Rathri is that which it's protecting from its environment, so you have to look to the thing which is being protected, the prey.
For what? What are we looking to it for?
Because what is being protected? We're protecting the prey from its environment. So
what the prey needs. Then, what right. The prey needs to be protected from.
Right, so exactly. So you can have a chiluk like John made between the first and second. You look at the entity, you're protecting the entity from its environment.
Okay.
Or you say, you know, you're protecting the process. But you have to look to the prey in terms of stages of what. You have to look to the prey to determine what is being protected.
Yeah, and the last one?
Whereas for the third, it says, no, it's not protecting it from external its environment. Rather, it is doing a service to the prey itself. So since it, because it, if that it dies. So since it is doing something for the prey itself, it is a stage of development. You don't look to any of the particulars that the first two are mechalek between of which part of the prey. Because if it can exist without it, then that is a gila mil. Like I was saying, that's a gila mil, so that it's out of the stage where it no longer needs it. And if it can exist without it, then it's failing in its shmirah. That's a different. What's it being shomer?
So what is it being shomer?
It's being shomer the pre by it's the difference between protecting the pre from external threats versus like nourishing it itself. Like it's not protecting from other things. It's allowing it to grow in the first place. So the removal of the bad, it's giving it good. It's allowing it to grow.
You wouldn't say that the roots are shomer the pre. Right? The roots aren't a shomer the pre.
I just thought of the difference between the first two and the third. Yeah. It seems to be a whole new approach, because the first two seem to be they define Shomer Lepri by what is this thing, what is the shell protecting? Meaning the definition of the Shomer Lepri is totally on what is it protecting. Is it protecting the entity, or is it protecting the activity?
Yeah, it's like a little flower.
But the third sheet is saying, no, Shomer Lepri is not a question of what is it protecting, but it's a question of how is it protecting it.
Yeah.
Meaning the first two have a premise, which is that what is it protecting? There's a chiluk, but how is it protecting? They both agree that it's simply a barrier between that thing and the elements. That's how it's protecting. It's simply like Matt was saying. It's like a structural barrier. But the third sheet holds, no, it's not.
That's
just
not what Matt was saying.
That's not what Matt was saying.
No.
But I thought of it because of what Matt said. But it's not. Well,
that's right. How you heard Matt before filter. Go ahead.
Through my biases.
That's right.
The premise of the first two, that how is it protecting? It's just like a barrier between the thing and the elements. Now that there's machlokas about what is it protecting.
Yes.
The third sheet that says no, the shomer lepri is you're both wrong, because what is it? It's protect. How is it protecting? It's allowing the thing. It's maintaining the existence of the entity.
According to the second swara, it's not an entity.
What?
According to this swara, the third shita goes by the fact that it's got to be Gemar Pira already, plus now it's preventing it from dying. But according to the second swara, it's not an entity. What's it protecting?
Just factually, the third shita holds.
The third sheet,
what stage of development does it have to
be? I think it's already got to be Gemar Pira.
You sure? Highlighter doesn't care what stage it is. It must need this.
I don't know,
shell.
But maybe it's not essential. I don't know.
It's
a good question.
So what is the third one?
We happen to hold.
It happens to be its
own. Except
but
for, I guess, essential. A grape, which we always go by Boser. Right? We all go by Boser, but it doesn't need it. Let me just think for a second. In other words, if it's gonna, your question is that what if the Shame Pri is not emerged, the thing falls off, but while it's there, it's a shomer.
Right,
right?
You think falls off, it's gonna die, but it's not yet a pri.
It would seem that would not be a shomer pri.
So it's gotta be shomer.
It seems it's gotta be there
thing.
When it has
yeah.
a Shame Pri.
Okay.
Right?
So what's the entity? I'm just saying, according to John Sfora, what's the entity?
See, what's the entity? I don't know. I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Do you understand what I'm saying? The chiluk is between the third and the first two.
Quickly, what's the chiluk?
How are you protecting? Are you what? How is what is how is what is the shmirah? Not what is it. The first two is what's the shmirah on. The second two and the first is What is the shear? The distinction between the first two and the third. What is the object of the shmira?
Okay.
What are you guarding?
Okay.
The distinction between the first two and the third.
Yes.
Is what? How are you guarding it? Are you just? Are you just?
Okay. Anything else? Moshe, very quietly.
No, I'm just wondering about. It seems to gotta be some entity that you're being shomer. I'm not sure what it means that you're being shomer process.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to the original question. S period. Right? S hatofel period. We cannot exceed that definition, it would seem. We cannot exceed that definition. So Bnei Gemara says, Mayu Shomer L'Pri. So what is that, again, what is that, so what is Shomer L'Pri? What is the idea of being a Shomer L'Pri? Where does it fit in? I mean, if I put up a fence around my pri, it's also Shomer L'Pri, right? So what
has
is
to be part of the entity.
It's Tofel. No, this is trying to define the relationship of Tofel, right? So like, it does presuppose an entity and a thing. I'm trying to define this relationship of Tofel to the thing. We're going to use this concept of Shomer just in the service of a tziruf, right? To create a certain tziruf of Iker and Tufel. Because if it's not there in a certain significant way, it's not even called a Tufel of Pri. See, Tufel is like a funny kind of, it's like a, it's a very difficult definition, a tofel, an ikar and a tofel, because it presupposes two opposites, right? That it's part of the thing and different from the thing, right? Because if it's not part of it, it's not going to be a tofel. It's just not.
On the partial.
There's no ikker, there's no tofel. And if it's an essential thing, then it would seem to be the ikker. Right? So, I mean, in food, what we normally encounter is very easy because it's one tarobus, it's one ochel. But by a fruit, a growth, it's a little more difficult. Right? So that's what the Gemara is grappling with here. That's what Rava is grappling with. How in an organic entity that's defined by a certain tsura of its growth, how do you have an ikar and a tafel? So it would seem, first of all, it has to be, the ikar has to be there, right? And it does have to structurally be part of it. That's why the fence would not be a tofel. Right? Because it has to be a part, but a subservient part. And the fence is not a part. It's a part, not a part. Right? Josh, got that?
The roots too.
The roots too. The roots too. So the Gemara is saying, the Brisa, I guess, is saying that Shomer L'Pri is the idea that that creates the relationship and the Iker and the Tafel. Yeah. So the first two approaches The first two approaches seem to be saying let's take the first approach. Okay, so the first approach is what? That in order to be, that Shomer Lepri means what? Means it's structurally part of the entity of the Pri. Right, it has to be structurally part of the entity of the Pri. But in a way that relates to the Pri. Right? Not the Pri itself, I mean to say. Not the Pri itself. So he's saying, but if you're going to define it structurally by the Pri, it has to be a permanent feature of the Pri. Right? Like your example of a mum over. There's a mum kavua and a mum over. Mainly there's not much of a difference, but conceptually there's a difference. A mum over is just conditional. It's a condition. It's a condition of the pre. It's a condition of the entity. But a mum kavua is a characteristic of the thing. Okay? It's a characteristic of the thing. So, like, difference if you makdish a beim with a mum kavua or a mum over. It's a different outcome.
Can you explain what those are? Like,
oh, and an animal. Form? An animal is not fit for a carb to be a carbon if it has a blemish. Some blemishes are permanent, some blemishes are temporary.
Oh, just temporary and permanent. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So, in other words, when is this thing considered a real characteristic of the fruit? When it's permanent. The permanence. The fact that it's there in its final tzura, that makes it that's necessary for it to be considered a structurally a feature of the fruit. Okay, I think it's similar to what you were saying originally.
And it's distinguished because we know it falls off eventually.
No, it never falls off. That would be the first definition. It has to never fall off.
I was saying, so then how is it distinct?
Because it's not the fruit. Structurally, it's not the fruit. It's you peel it off. It does come off, and the fruit is intact. Right? See, I'm not so concerned with defining shomer as much as defining tafel, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Shomer, I don't think it's important how much shmir the thing does. Or what? I mean, you're right. It's a good idea to define it, but your idea is good. Your idea is good. It means to say it is relating to the thing in a certain in some functional way. Is it protecting it? It's minimally protecting it, I guess. But that's not the ikar. You know what I'm saying? It's just a way to make it a tuffel to the thing. No, that's what he's saying in this first way. Shomer HaPri means it's a permanent. That is its definition. Shomer HaPri in the first way is saying that what? That definitively, it has a certain feature. It's a feature of the pre. And if it's not there permanently, it lacks in being called this feature of the pre. The skin of the pre, whatever it is, you're gonna call it. If it's only there temporarily, you can't call it the skin of the pre or the outer layer of the pre. Right? Because it's a temporary thing. It's just a condition. It's a stage. But so then in the second definition, we'll do the second definition we'll just briefly do it, and then we'll run to the third and maybe try to come back. So now the second definition, I think, is still saying structurally. But he's saying we don't care about the structural entity past the emergence of the shamkri. In other words, you're right. It's a structural thing. Part of the... It structurally has shomer lepri, means it's structurally functioning as a part of this pri. But we don't care. We don't care about it in an organic sense that it's always permanently fixed there. We only care when the shame pre emerges. Once the shame pre emerges, and halachically it has the definition of a pre, whatever characteristics it has at that point are its characteristics.
I'm a little confused because I thought the whole idea of permanence that you were explaining in the first way was in order to say that it's really part of the structure. And I can use it now so that it's still structure.
Yeah, okay. I want to come back to that in a minute. But I just want to jump off of that to the third for a second. See, the third is saying this. The third is saying that chiluk doesn't make sense. In other words, either it has to be permanent. In other words, if you're going to go structural, it should be defined by the entity of pri, which goes even through tolish. Or you'll say functional. That it's a shomer lepri because it actually functions for the pri. In terms of the pri's existence. But to say it's a feature of the pre at a certain period of time, even though that period of time is defined by function, that's really neither here nor there. You know what I'm saying? Because the third one is abandoning the whole first approach. The first approach was trying to find it as a structural component of the entity. And the natural definition would be the natural entity, right, throughout its full development. When it's in its final form, you want to know what are the elements of the fruit, you go by its final form. But then it had to move to an idea of as long as it's there through the development of the shame pri. But still that was in terms of the entity, saying once the halacha is kovea this as an entity, then we don't have to be concerned anymore past that. But the third sheet is saying that if you're not going to go the full entity, right, if it's not going to be that it's structurally part of it through till the end, then you have to come to a whole new definition. You have to abandon the whole idea that shomer is a certain relationship through the structure of the entity. And you have to come to a new idea that the tziruf between the shomer and the pri is a functional tziruf. And that it's necessary for its continued existence. There's nobody going to say in the first idea of the shomer. That's why I think you guys are over-exaggerating the idea of the shmira in the first part. It's not that it's really protecting the life of the pri. It's just structurally, encasing the thing. Shomer over there is really trying to find a structural idea. It's surrounding it. That's a structural concept. And then naturally the first structural idea is a permanent feature of the thing. Then it goes to an idea of structure through the halachic entity. Not the natural entity, but the halachic entity. And then, that's because I still need to think about it a little more. But the final idea is that shomer is not a structural concept at all. It is a functional idea. But that it functions for the thing's existence. So then you'll say that's the tzirif of the thing. Not just that it happens to be around it. That's not enough to make them into an entity. That's not enough of a tzirif. That's not enough of a tzirif if it's not literally part of it. It has to have the tzirif that it's really actually a functional thing. One second. So that's only if it's there, if it's actually keeping it alive. Then it has the idea of Jonah. Then it has the idea of Jonah.
You say that the third book has a problem with the conceptual, with the second idea?
Well, I'm sort of dramatizing it, because there's not really a conversation like this. Right. But I am saying, and it's wholly, it's true, I'm completely interjecting this into the Gemara. But it's not without a basis. Because I'm saying that the first approach is structural, and that's why it initially moves to the natural idea of structure. That's the pre-Kibriyaso through its full development and maturity as it exists as an entity on the tree. Right?
What do you call the second?
The second one is a retreat. Is the same approach, but it's a slight retreat in that approach. Is saying, we'll still have the idea of structure, but I'm going to move the I'm going to move the entity into a different framework, into a halachic framework. The third one is abandoning that whole approach and saying, shomer is a different idea of relationship, of a functional relationship. No, it's what I'm trying to say is that the first idea of Shmira was a different idea of Shmira than the second idea of Shmira. The first idea of Shmira is just really structural. Second idea, now you have two ways of defining the structure. Two structural points. Two points to say the structure is fixed. Right? The other way is to say Shomer means it actually functions for the thing. See, that's what I'm saying is a slight ambiguity. In the Shomer, in the first part, it's not really the functional, it's not that it's a functional entity. It's that it does have this relationship. That's not its ikker, that's not what it's there for.
So what does Shomer mean?
It means it is surrounding the thing. It is keeping the thing apart from its surroundings.
Isn't that a function?
It doesn't have to function. It could be that if it were exposed, nothing would happen to it anyway.
I mean, it's functioning as a barrier between it and the other.
That's the structure.
I understand. Structurally, that's true. But does it?
It doesn't have to accomplish
the idea of what the Shmira is. Like, it's a very minimalistic idea. It's simply a barrier.
That's right.
It's not functional.
It doesn't have to
mean there's any key to the barrier.
It doesn't have to accomplish anything. But it's still, that is an idea of Shmira.
But it's not an idea of Shmira that's really drawn from its protective element. In other words, right. If I have an obligation to be shomer an ox, to just separate it from its environment with a sheet of paper, would not be good.
Well, I would. Right? I can imagine two types of protections. Like one, like type of protection, like you ensure the thing's survival. That's the second idea. But you can also imagine a type of protection where you're just creating a barrier. Now, it's true, it could be breached,
correct.
But the barrier itself is a form of protection. I mean, it's
but I'm saying, though, that is an idea, that's a different idea of, it's a completely different idea of the tzira. One is that it's essentially, the second one is that the tzira is essentially through the function. Right? And if it fails to have a function, there's no tzira. Right? The first idea is not that not that you need an active to accomplish something, but the fact that there is this structural relationship is the thing. It's a structural relationship that's built on an idea of function, but it's not a. Maybe it's just. And it's a different idea of Shmira. You can say it's a different idea of Shmira. You can say it's a different idea of Shmira.
I mean, yeah. I mean, why can't you say that they disagree on what the function is? Meaning they just hold a much more minimalistic idea of function.
Because even if it didn't do anything, right? Even if the barrier didn't...
Well, John's saying it's impossible for it not to do anything.
What's the
shomer
is like a verb?
Separate.
Like shomer to guard. That's what a shomer is. It's a guard. Isn't that a functional idea? Doesn't a guard do something? The guard's not like... It's not like a...
Can the something be separate?
What?
Can the something be separating? That's what it does?
Going to
I'm just wondering, just according to the third definition, is it functionally pretending? Does it matter? Does it have to be the halachic entity? We don't know.
The halachic.
Does it have to be only when it's Gmar Pri? I mean.
It would seem that.
Does that demand one particular idea? One particular entity?
Good question.
Just the specifics have to be for Gmar Pri or for Talish. Does that demand, does the idea of function demand one of those?
Well, it would seem like it because it's still, I mean, the whole thing is still operating off Tufel. So Tufel of what? I mean, I don't think I can ever bend in it.
I think it's demand a particular one.
At the very least, it's got to be Gmar Pri.
Yeah, I'm asking.
Oh, between those two. Oh,
exactly.
See, I think. See, that's what I'm trying to say. That once he's going down to the halachic entity, right?
Okay.
Because he has to. Rav is forced to move down to the halachic entity. Then what's happening is that the idea of the structure is being abandoned, because that is difficult. That is a difficult position to define it. You're like combining two realms, structural, which is natural, with a certain halachic thing. But to say functional, it does in fact function at this certain point.
Gmar Pri.
In other words, to say it's a structural thing, right? Structural means part of the entity, right? And if there's a limitation on its existence, that is a lack in its existing as a structural form. But as a functional form, there's nothing wrong with it functioning for a certain time and not functioning at a later time. Because it doesn't have to be that it will function. It doesn't have to be that it functions throughout the entire development of the thing. For instance, let's just see if we can figure this out factually. In other words, take the date. Right? The date was our problem? The date.
Started the problem.
Was one of our problems, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the date, the Gemara, or what's the case the Gemara gives? The Rimon? Right, take the Rimon. So the Shomer Pri over there, it does naturally fall off, right? The Rimon does, the Nates does fall off, eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
Right? So in its full ripe, in its fully mature state, there's no more Nates.
At Talish, yeah.
Right? So at that time, it's not functioning. There's nothing to function. Right? That's not a problem.
Right.
Because it's not functioning later, doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it was functioning earlier, but structurally, if it would fall off later, that would say that it's not part of the real structure of the pre. You understand? That's the whole point of moving to the function. That's why I'm representing the second shita as somewhat of a bridging idea, somewhat of a bridge, that he's maintaining the structural idea, but moving it down to a certain stage of the pre itself, which is fixed by halacha, right? And then the last one is moving completely out of the, is retaining the idea of the stage, but fixing a more appropriate measure for that, which is function as opposed to structure. So if I go through the stages, it would be, the first one is structure and the natural entity, which is a perfect conceptual idea, perfectly conceptual. Then he has to retreat to an idea of structure in a stage, which is an awkward idea. Okay. And he finally comes to the last idea, which is a function at a stage, which is another perfect idea. Right? Mm-hmm. So,
I understand what you're saying, and this may not be a popular question, but if it's
a hypocritical Gemara question?
No. Just if it's an awkward idea, then how is he saying it?
Because he was, at that point, he still felt, at that point he held, structure is an ikker. And he was forced into moving the structure down.
Why is it an awkward idea?
I don't get it.
I don't know either why. But he held Shomer Lepri is essentially a functional, is essentially a structural concept.
Naturally, because
it's essentially, that's how he understood it. Essentially a structural concept. Naturally, it would go to the idea of development. But then, because of the Brisa, he was forced forced out of that. So he had to say, okay, I can maintain the idea of structure, but I don't have to define the structure as the natural element. I can say as long as the halachic element has it.
But the reason why I reject that idea is not because of its merits as a svara, but because of the factual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why I don't see what's lacking. I mean, there's
nothing lacking. It's not a bad idea. I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
It's structurally part of that halachic idea. I mean, what's?
And maybe I'm trying to do too much, but.
Because structure is like a physical framework, and halacha is like a metaphysical framework.
Right.
You don't like structure in a legal.
Right.
In a legal structure.
I mean, I do say, I mean, maybe I am over-dramatizing it, but I do, maybe I don't have a right to say this, but I do feel there is a certain beauty in that. Now, that doesn't justify things. Beauty, I think, sometimes people take that as a license to say whatever they want. But just because you can imagine something beautiful doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
But I do think that there's a certain elegance in how the Gemara works out. That Rava had an intuitive idea of how Shomer should be. And he tried to save it. He tried to save it with the second answer. And eventually it was shown a more beautiful idea.
Yeah.
That function goes with the halachic concept. That's a halachic thing with a functional idea. You know what I'm saying? In that way, I enjoy that. I enjoy the progression in that sense. And that's why I'm looking at it that way. Because Rava has an intuitive idea of structure. He presents it in the most perfect form. And you're not going to abandon it because of Akasha. You're going to try to work it out. But then he's forced to discover a different idea, which is really, when you look at it, and when you come back afterwards, you look at it, you say, yeah, this is a perfect thing. Now, the middle ground is not a perfect thing. I mean, you don't like me saying that, I know. But it's not a perfect thing. It's a combination of his intuition and Akasha. I mean, maybe I can't say it, but maybe it's wrong too. But that's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. I'm not saying that Rava was being dishonest to save an idea that he cherished.
No, no.
You know what I'm
saying? That,
but your mind does work in a certain way, and you have to account for questions. You have to account for questions. But the true answer reveals itself without any hitches in the end.
Yeah.
That's the question. It says, what does Tufel mean?
Presupposes that there's a relationship. So what's the relationship? But now, what does it mean? It's a relationship with Shmuel.
That's the one. It's like open. It's structurally.
No, he's saying it's a structural.
Oh no, it doesn't fold down. It still comes up, but there's extra over here
and something surrounding it.
I'm very small.
They're small, but I mean, like, yeah, I never noticed them.
It doesn't mean it exists there to protect it.
Fine, no, but like, no, but I'm saying, you know, like,
but it does exist.
It's just like an accidental kick. It's like open.
I think, like Matt was saying, was not bad. It does exist. Its existence does create a relationship because it surrounds the thing.
They're probably saying.